All right, so the session tonight is actually a bit of a hard one to go through because the standard is high and it's intimidating. It's intimidating to me when I look at my own life and I take in this lesson, I see very quickly where I fall short. And yet we are to love the standard. God has given us in His Word His standards. And we are to love them and to pursue them with joy. And so that's what we want to do tonight. We want to press in, even if we feel intimidated. So we have talked a little bit about the importance of the household, and that each man is to be found faithful in the household that God has given him. We have all been given a task, each one, whether you are married or whether you are single. You have been given a task, and you are to be faithful to pursue that task. We are to manage our households to the glory of God. Now, it can be a great temptation to let your household fall into disarray as you pursue other things in life, things that might seem more exciting and less difficult. But your household is where you have to start. That is where you are tested. That is where you are proven. That is where, so to speak, you are king. You have no excuse where you are king. It's easy to blame things in life on outward circumstances. I got a bad boss, or there's bad government. I got bad neighbors, there's a bad church, or whatever. But in your home, you are king. Nobody has the authority that you have over your household. As men, we are given authority over the household. No one else has that authority. And so there are no excuses for the state of your home. The responsibility is yours. Your character is tested, and it's not just tested, but it is revealed in your household. The state of your household will reflect the state of your heart. Now, I'm already intimidated by that line. The state of your household will reflect the state of your heart because you are head of your home. It's the outward manifestation of your inner life. And we're going to talk about that as we move forward tonight. But as the leaders, you are responsible for all that happens in your home. A great lesson that men need to learn. We all got to learn this. Not everything that happens in your home is your fault. But everything that happens in your home is your responsibility. That is a tough lesson to learn. Not everything that happens in your home is your fault, but everything that happens in your home is your responsibility. You are the head, the representative before God for your household. So I'm Chadwick. My wife is Marcella. But when I stand before the Lord, I represent the Weebs. I represent the Weeb household. I am the head, and I am responsible. In that sense, I am the Weebs. As I go, so do my family. So men must learn to take responsibility, and that means taking responsibility for things that are not their fault. That is hard. Christ is our example. He took responsibility for things that were not his fault. Was sin his fault? Was Jesus to blame for the sin of his bride? Not a bit of it. Did Jesus take responsibility for the sin of his bride to save her and to cleanse her? Yes. And he is our example. He took responsibility for things that were not his fault. And we are to learn to follow after him, to become like him. So today we're talking about the household. God calls men to be faithful at home. And so the question naturally is going to arise, what does household actually mean? What does it actually mean to manage a household? Today we want to look at that question, try to answer it in such a way that you have a clearer vision of what God wants you to do as you walk out of here a little later on. So we start by getting a glimpse of God's household. You want to read Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We are to pattern ourselves after God's own household. We are to run our households in the way that he does. He's our example. And then we are to be that same example to the watching world. God has made for us a pattern. Men, he has given you a template. And we are called to build according to that template. Our homes should reflect the glory of God, and he has shown us how. For those who are married, as Christ loved the church, husbands are to love their wives. As God loves and trains his children, so are we to love and train ours. As God cares for his household, so are we to care for ours. As he took the heaviest burdens upon himself, men, so are we to take the heaviest burdens upon ourselves, taking responsibility for everything that happens in our homes. You're not to blame for everything that happens, but you are responsible. You are the head. Good question to ask yourself. Who is carrying the burden in my home? It can be easy to put it on our wives and children so that they walk on eggshells around us, that they take the brunt of everything because we're king. That is not the example that we have. Our example is Christ himself as husband. Our example is God the Father, and it is him that we are to imitate. So let's take a look at what God has done. We start by seeing that he has brought us in. He has adopted us as his children. He has taken responsibility for his children. We are heirs of his inheritance. We are a dwelling place for him. He has committed himself to his people, to his bride, to his children. God is utterly committed to them. In covenant that God will not break, he is saving his children. Whatever happens, he will do it. His commitment is utterly complete, based on a covenant that he's never going to break. He is the cornerstone of his own household. Christ is the cornerstone of his own household. His family is built into him. He is the immovable, sure anchor. And the family is connected to him. And that's how our commitment to our families ought to be. He has given us the pattern. He has shown us how to manage, how to rule, how to love, what it means to take responsibility for everything that happens in our kingdom. We need to be that anchor for our families. Dependable. We need to be present. God cares for us. He provides for us. He protects us, teaches us, disciplines us, forms us into his image. And we are to mirror him. We are to be formed in his likeness. Each man here, each one of us, are to be formed into the likeness of Christ. And then we are to build into our families with Christ-like commitment, with Christ-like devotion and love, and we are to build our families into Christ-likeness. We need to recognize that our household, your household, is a place where your spirit, your heart, your presence dwells. And what you put into your heart in secret, you're going to receive back 100-fold in your home. Your home is the manifestation of what's happening in here. So watch what you put into your heart. Doug Wilson says it this way. You don't think of yourself as a single person, as just one person. You are your family. If you go to the back room with your phone to look at stuff online that you shouldn't be looking at, it's not you doing it. You should be thinking, the Weeb family is now going to look at pictures. The Weeb family together, as their covenant head, as their father and husband, I am bringing them into my sin. I am responsible. And God will hold me to account. You are not your own. You are the head of a household. And you want a home that reflects God. So your heart must reflect God. You are responsible to make this happen. It starts with you, and then it extends to your family. God has shown us how this works. Jesus, the Son of God, he is the standard of all character. He measures up. He is perfect. And as he goes, so does his bride. He is sanctifying her. He is purifying her. He will bring her all the way home. Christ shows us this way. He adorns her with beauty. He washes her with the water of the word so that she can become beautiful and fruitful. This is our pattern, what we are called, our template, to be like Christ. So you are responsible, if you are married, to do this with your wives, right? The pressure is enormous. I feel it in my own mind and heart. We are not to be passively waiting for her to make herself beautiful. You are to bestow beauty upon her. You are responsible to do that. And that's done in the way that you love her, the way you cherish her, wash her with the word, provide for her, protect her. Women are made to respond. If you treat her as Christ teaches it, treats the church, she becomes more beautiful. It is often visible on a woman who comes from a bad or abusive environment. They shrink. They can't look you in the eye. They are afraid, whatever it is. It's an outward manifestation of your own heart. You are responsible. See, this is really hard. One of the hardest things for men to grasp, but you are responsible for the state of your household. We want to blame, just like Adam did. We've been doing it since the beginning. That woman that you gave me, that woman, we want to blame. And God says, you are the head. You take responsibility. We need to cultivate the glory of our wives so that she shines all the brighter. You are a king, and she is your crown. And a beautiful crown is what is fitting for a king. No king mistreats his crown. It is his glory. You are responsible for your own crown, who is your wife. And as you bestow upon her all that God has commanded, you are bestowing beauty upon her. She will bloom and she will glorify you. She is your glory. And if she is not glorious, you need to act as Jesus did. Give your life for her. You are responsible to make her shine. How uncomfortable are we now? Wait till I give it to the ladies next week. They're going to be sweating too by the time we're done. But we should love the standard. We should love the standard and pursue it. Men, you are responsible. You have been given a battle, a mountain to climb, a kingdom to build. As Billy has shown us with the swords, I think one time Eric did the demonstration. I forget the details of it. But he had just said, if a bunch of boys get their hands on a suit of armor, if there's a suit of armor somewhere, and they're allowed to access it, what's the first thing every boy picks up? It's the sword every time, right? You don't pick up the shin guard and say, ooh, what an awesome shin guard. Guys, look at the shin guard. Everyone grabs the sword. Men are made to fight, to build, to work, to sweat, to have a challenge, to get knocked down and pick themselves back up again. We're made for that. God has promised us grace and power. So the beauty of your wife then, the order of your home, the training of your children, all these things reflect the state of your own heart. We can't hide the state of our heart as much as we want to. We cannot hide it. It will show itself in the real world. Hard to hear. They reflect your heart. So what is in your heart? Is it the love of Christ? Is it love for your wife, your children? Do you love the glory of God in your home? Your own heart, is it captured by Christ? Is it molded into his image? Your heart is on display in the faces of your family. Your innermost being is revealed by the state of your household. Can you handle that? That's really hard. That's really hard. So what can we begin to learn about this? We're going to start here. You are intimately connected to your wife and children. So we don't want to think individually. We think of the plural as one, of which you are the covenant head. You are the family. You are one. As has been said, your family is not a bunch of separate marbles in a bag, kind of bouncing around, each one doing their own thing that just happened to be in close proximity to one another. No, you are like leaves on a tree, each one distinct and yet united, held together by the common root, by a common covenant, bound together like leaves on a tree. There's a common constitution, always connected. You are inseparable from them. There is a covenant between you and your wife that God himself is the witness of. And Scripture says that he has put a portion of the Spirit in that union. So this is not theoretical. When we say you are the head of the household, that doesn't mean you're the boss in that sense. God has put you two together, and he has put a portion, this is Malachi, he has put a portion of his Spirit in that union. And he has said, men, you are the head. You are responsible. To blame for everything. I mean, we have our share, obviously. Not to blame for everything, but responsible. You are knit together by God himself. It's never just you hiding in the back room. It's never just you heading off to work. You represent a family. Those people in your home, God sees you in that way. You are the head, the covenant head. As Christ is the head of the church and gives his life for her through that covenant that he will never break, we are called to the same. Men, you are the head of this covenant with you and your wife, and you were called to give your life for her, to make her beautiful as Christ does to his bride, the church. As God has taken us into his household, he oversees our needs and cares for all our troubles. Right? He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He provides for us. He blesses our work. He makes us fruitful. And we are to pursue Christ-likeness, to do that for our families. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. It should be a delight to follow him. So do you see your family as an extension of your own heart, as a part of you? What is the yoke that you are putting on your wife and children? Would they say, the yoke is easy and the burden is light that my husband puts on me? Would your children say, Dad's yoke is easy and his burden is light? Do they see Christ in you so that they too can flourish and come to life under your protective care? Do you see it that way? Or are your wife and children afraid of you? Are you distant from them? Or do they want to be with you? Do they recognize you as a father who is like the Heavenly Father? Or are you angry and aloof, not present? The state of your heart is going to be reflected in your wife and children. You are responsible. A tough message. A tough message. There's already at least 1,000 if, buts, and maybes in the room, I'm sure. I feel them in my heart, too. But what about my situation? What about my wife, my children? You don't understand my situation. They don't listen, and all those things. And yet, as the covenant head, you are responsible for everything that happens in your home. That's really hard. The good news is God promises grace. He gives us a way. He has given us a pattern. He has promised us power. He has shown us how to do it. That's what we want to learn, so that we don't have to be intimidated when we hear that. We don't have to be defensive. We don't have to get angry and push back and be all in a huff. We can say, thank the Lord, he has provided. He has shown me the way to do this, and I'm going to start doing it. We can receive this with joy. We can love the standard instead of being insulted or intimidated by it and be tempted to blame other situations. We can say, I'm responsible. The Lord has promised grace. Oh, let's go. Let's build something amazing. So can you begin to catch just a glimpse of how great the task is that God has given us? God has given each man a great work to do. And tragically, many men find it difficult, because it is, and would rather pursue 100 other things in life. But God sends us home. I'm going to say to you the same thing I'm going to say to the women next week. Go home. Go home. God has given us a pattern, and we are to build our households after that pattern. Now, we've been talking wife and kids. A household is much more than wife and children. There's more. Single men, this also means you. Your household is also all that you own, all that you oversee in your life. Your wife and children, of course, your house, your money, your stuff, your work, your hobbies, your clothing, whatever. All of it. It's everything that you represent, and that in turn represents you. Your household represents you. It is the world that you are building, that you are king of. It's the place that you are calling blessed home. It's your signature on planet Earth. That's a really good way to look at it. It's your signature. It says, Chad was here. Well, who is Chad? Well, take a look at what he built. You'll have a really good idea of who Chad is. It's my signature. It's your signature. We are called to lead, to manage, to take responsibility, and whether we do it or not, God holds us accountable. You will have signed that piece of paper of your household, whether you want to or not. It is your signature. Don't be ashamed of your signature that you write. If done well, it will actually say, look and see what God is like. Look here, and you will see what the love of Christ is like. Look here and see the glory of God. So does my household represent the glory of God, or am I ashamed of my own signature when I see it? Your home is to be on display as an image of God's home. You are to produce good things, whether that is having children or in your work, in the state of your actual house, your garden, entertainment, whatever you allow in there, you're responsible. It all speaks. It's your signature. Your household is what you stand for. It's the kingdom that you are building, where God has given you authority. You are king. And he says, build this way. We are not free to do as we please in that sense. We have been given a standard. We ought to love that standard. It's the flag that we fly high. And we can't hide it or bury it or hope people are going to ignore it. It's your heart and your hands on display. It really matters. We are to do in our own small way what God is doing in his big way. We provide, protect, we multiply our talents, our people, we train, we disciple, we work and produce as God does. Which means, don't go home tonight and announce in a loud voice that there's going to be some changes around here. Don't do that. Men tend to err on two sides, abdication or tyranny. Either I'm going to do nothing, I'm just going to sit on the couch, put my feet up, and expect everyone to cater to me, or I'm going to be a tyrant, I'm just going to boss everyone and demand my own way. Those are two great temptations for men in the household. You will do nothing, or you'll be a tyrant. But God has shown us how to do it. Now, I don't want to get into this next little piece, and I hesitated even to put this caveat in here. I'm just going to say it, and I'm going to move on. You're responsible for everything. You are not to blame for everything. We are all in progress. Okay, don't take this and run away with it, because I want the light to shine bright on all of us. It's not a perfect one-to-one picture. You can be faithful to your children and have them turn away from the Lord. It doesn't mean your life is going to be perfect if you get everything right. I will leave it right there. We all have work to do. We all need to get started on growing our households in whatever way God has given it to us, building productive and God-glorifying households. So maybe you have a long way to go, and you have a lot of changes that you realize you need to make. That's okay. Get to work. But do it as God does it. He disciplines us, yes, but as a nursing mother with her children, as one who is mindful that we are dust. He disciplines us in mercy and in kindness and in patience. That's how he does it. He doesn't just give us a template for what our households should look like. He gives us the template for how we get there. Not as tyrants, but as fathers and husbands. God-given goals achieved by God-given means. That's the path. Your authority is to be governed by God. So think then about the mindset behind your authority. God has given you a task. He's given you authority to accomplish it. But he has also instructed you to go about it in a certain way, with a certain mindset. Consider these following verses. Luke 12, 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Matthew 14, 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. These verses, do they describe you? Are you pleased to pour out your life for your family? Is it your pleasure to give them your kingdom, to pour out your strength for them, to take responsibility for things that are not your fault? Are you pleased to do that? Are you pleased to give your blood, sweat, and tears to your family? Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, Marcella and girls. It is my pleasure to give you my kingdom. All my strength is yours. I am the covenant head. You are me. I give my life for you with joy. Do you lay down your life for them? Do they take heart when you are near? When you enter the room, is there rejoicing and courage? Immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Does that describe the response of your children? When I was young, I was terrified of my dad. You never got within arm's reach of him if you could help it. We came home from school, and he sat there in the chair, and you would make a wide earth around him, staying just out of reach. I was terrified when he came in the room. Jesus says, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Do your children take courage when you walk in the room? Dad is here. I am safe. He loves me. Does your wife take courage when you come, or does she shrink back, afraid of your cutting words or of your cold silence? God has given us an example. God has revealed himself as a husband in Christ who gives his life for his bride, and he's revealed himself as our Father who provides for us and protects us. He has defined what a husband and father is to be and is to do. We are to follow his example. Yes, the standard is intimidatingly high. And there is grace and strength in promises which keep us from being dismayed, so that we can take courage when God comes and says, take heart, husband, take heart. Father, take heart, manager of a household, I'm here. I am here. We need to get excited about our work, our households. Our duty is to grow it, provide for it, protect it, to make it productive to the glory of God. You are the administrator of an office that has been given to you, and that office comes with a requirement that you prove faithful. 1 Timothy 5:8, If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And I would put to you that providing for your household is more than money. A whole lot more than money. You are to be committed to blessing your household for the glory of God. Your household is your base from which you launch your attacks. Your children are arrows that you are fashioning to send into the future. Will your children fly straight and true? Will they strike the heart of the enemy because they have been fashioned well? Remember, we are to pattern our households after God's pattern. It really matters. Do you remember when Moses was instructed to build a tabernacle? God said, make it exactly a certain way, with utter precision, because it was a representation of what was in heaven. We read in Exodus, and see that you make them after the pattern for them, which is being shown to you on the mountain. And then in Hebrews, the place where they serve is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build a tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. We are to do the same. In our households, our marriages, we are to represent what is in heaven. That's not an exaggeration. The love between a husband and a wife is like the love between Christ and the church. He has given us a pattern, the heavenly pattern. He says, now be that pattern. Moses, make it like you saw. Do that, because there is an actual heavenly pattern. Husbands, fathers, you have a pattern. You are called to show that pattern, to walk in that pattern. We pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven is an awesome battle cry. In my home, as it is in heaven, I will give my life for those whom God has given to me. I will love them. I will bleed for them. I am a king who loves and sacrifices for his people. The love between a husband and a wife is like the love of Christ and the church. As it is in heaven, so in my home. That's an awesome battle cry to adopt, to think that way. That's what we're after. And though the standard is high, we must not relent in our pursuit of it. Remind yourself again and again, God gives grace. He gives grace. He gives you means of grace here in the brotherhood, in the word, in worship, through as you pray and you meditate on the scriptures, as brothers come into your life, there's all kinds of ways that the Spirit is pleased to work in your life. This is not out of reach. I'm not talking perfection, please understand. But there is a standard that we should love, we should pursue, and not brush aside because it's hard or it's unattainable or my life is a mess or whatever. We should love it. Say, Lord, help me. In a real way, a husband and his wife are the picture of the end of the world, right? A husband and a wife are a sign that reads, this is a quote, this is the way that the world will end. Not with a bang, but not with a whimper, but with wedding bells. The marriage supper of the Lamb ushers in the end of the world, and our marriages are to reflect that. Our households are to be ordered like God's household. And if you're single, then your place, of course, will look different without a wife, but you have a duty before you all the same. Is your household in order? Your life, your heart, your actions, your productivity, your discipleship. Is there a banner over your home that says on earth as it is in heaven? God's will is practiced here, however imperfectly. That is my prayer. That is my heart's desire. That's what I want. The standard is high and it's intimidating, isn't it? So while we need to talk yet of your mission, which is a separate thing. It's more the work that you do outside of your immediate household. Every man needs a mission. We're not going there today. The message for today is this. Go home, imitate God, and build your household. It's not just your duty before God, but The pursuit of that will keep you productively occupied and away from a thousand snares the devil has already set for you. Your signature of your household is a beautiful thing, and it's a task that's going to require all of your strength. We all imagine ourselves great heroes in battle. That's why we love the swords. When all too often behind us is a battle that we have abandoned in the state of our home, because we have found it hard. We've discovered that bleeding isn't as fun as it looks on the movies. Right? The brave hero at the end, he's all bloodied and beaten up, dragging himself. And you're like, yeah, that's awesome. And then I get a little nick on my finger. I'm like, yeah, that hurts. I think I'll go watch a movie. We do that. Don't let that be your signature. Building our home for the glory of God, taking responsibility, even for things that aren't our fault, is what we are called to. You are a covenant head. If you are married, you have been given management of a household, whether you're married or not, and you're responsible for everything that happens under your watch. That is a tall order. We should be eager to embrace that, to pursue that. God has filled that command with blessings, with power, with reward, with harvest, with joy that you will not find in your other pursuits. There is purpose, there is meaning. And yes, it will require your blood, sweat, and tears. Your household is to serve the purpose of the glory of God. You exercise dominion for your household, and you exercise it by your household. And we need to honor that amongst the brotherhood, here in this room, as the men come together. Man, we need to encourage one another. We need to recognize the battle that each man is facing, encouraging one another, rejoicing in our victories, building one another up. It is an honorable task, men, to build your household for the glory of God, worthy of respect. And every man should be able to salute the coat of arms that represent a well-ordered household of a brother. We need to respect the godly signatures of the brothers around us and rejoice with them as they build. I see your signature. Keep going, brother. Having the respect of the brotherhood as we build is a source of strength and joy. You have been given a glorious task. Your work is right in front of you. Be faithful there. The Bible says that the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. God has given you your piece of the promised land. Go and get it. Kill the giants that are there. Clear the land. Rejoice in what it produces. Rule well over it. Be fruitful and multiply for the glory of God. This is God's command. This is God's blessing for you. The great command and blessing of God. And through our obedience, the world will be changed. You are the head of your household, a steward of the living God, and it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. So may God give you grace as you step into the role of the head of your household. We want to keep talking about these things as we go. But we're going to wrap up here. The standard is high. It's intimidating. Here's an excellent place to start so that you're not overwhelmed. Start here. Sometime in the next day or two, find some time to be alone with God. The manager of the household takes this step alone. No one there but you and the Lord. And in the presence of the Lord, take full responsibility for the state of your household. It is yours. And tell God, the responsibility is mine. And I am here as head of the household to take responsibility, whether it's my fault or not. Take responsibility before the Lord. Confess where you have failed and ask him, brothers, to help you order your household well. Do that first. And then start walking in obedience one step at a time. And you'll be amazed at what God will do for a man who takes responsibility for his household, who has it in his heart to become like Christ, to pattern his life after Christ and so glorify God. God is pleased with such prayers. Start with that prayer. Do not abdicate. Do not be a tyrant. Take responsibility. Let's pray. Our Father, what a word this is. And Lord, I pray that every man here feels the weight of it on his chest right now. And in the same moment, Lord, that we feel the weight, may the promises of your word and of your grace, of your strength, flood us with hope and with joy. That we bear up like men, taking the responsibility you have given us, following hard after Christ, building one another up, managing our households well for the glory of God. May none of us be dismayed or without hope in this moment, but would we receive hope from your Spirit. As you have called us, so you have promised to equip us. You have promised to meet our every need in Christ Jesus. There is not a need that was mentioned here today, Father, that you have not promised to meet in us. And so we look to you. May our hearts be turned to you continually as we feel the weight of this, as we feel what it means. May we look to you continually, coming to you for help, walking by your power, and so reaping a good harvest. May you be glorified in each household represented here. May you open our eyes and our hearts to receive it and to follow hard after it. May the brotherhood draw together, encouraging one another in this as we seek to order our households well. Lord, would you be pleased to change the world? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.